Ocean Grove is a good place to go in the winter because you get cozy pubs and restaurants and nice angry ocean. It's lovely. Now,
but then you got to drive. Yeah, if you're the driver, it's no fun. Because then you can't enjoy the extra glass of beer or the wine.
Why don't you go spend the night? Spend the night.
I'm married.
I got the same crap at this house. G'day, you all.
Sorry, I did it already.
Oh, it's okay. G'day. Oh, again?
Yeah, it is. G'day. Goodbye.
No. Goodbye. Okay. Well, let me try this again.
No. We're at the episode 91.
And this
gonna,
is it.
And we're going to talk about soup.
Thank you, Phil.
Yes.
Now, you poor man, you've been here twice this week. Two recordings in a week.
I know. The dog loves me, but.
That's right. Ralphie was very happy to have you here. Now, part of this thing is we have had a container that has been sitting in purgatory for ages that we finally got to open.
Yes.
Tell us about it, Phil.
Well, we opened it and nothing gushed out of there.
Nice.
Okay. But then everything was nicely packed. Beautiful. Sitting in there. So we'll probably have a lot of specials coming on because a lot of things because it's been delayed so much that there's a lot of dates that are, you know,
short.
Only a month off or short dated. So, yeah, look for special bargains.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, and we could thank the Australian government for that.
You know, it sat there for 5 weeks and then another week sitting there waiting for them to come down to watch us open it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
Yes, that is. So we decided we needed some, it's cold too. Mm-hmm. So we need to have some calming, sort of healing topics. So soup, it is. Yep. We're talking about types of soup, the magic of soup, the soup Nazi, one of the greatest Seinfeldum episodes.
Pop culture.
And soup. And all sorts of things because soup is, well, it's.
Soup is good for you. Isn't that what Campbell said?
Right? That is exactly right. And it is in every culture. Mm-hmm. It's just how we all started. So we'll be talking a little bit more about different types like chunky and cream and all those sort of things. And it's great because Phil is the soup chef.
I'm the soup chef.
He is. You are. At work. Yeah. And I've already had some barley soup. It was fantastic. But
beef and barley. Yeah.
Phil is a great soup maker.
Of course, you know what's good about soup? You can throw anything in it.
Yes.
Sort of. You know, as long as it goes together, you can throw it in. But yeah. And did I tell you about the restaurant I used to go to in New York?
No.
Well, we used to go to one of these diners out. Actually, it was Jersey. You
know, right.
You know, one of the big diners. And they had it on the menu. I said to the guy, well, what's the soup du jour? And he said, I don't know, but we have it every day.
All right. That
is
so bad.
So, Barbara.
Yes, sir.
So, in your house, you got that, which I never asked you, what's that Andy Warhol soup poster all about? You got history on that or what?
Well, it's quite funny because I.
No, like, no, it's funny. It's on the wall.
Well, yes. You know, people go, that's a giant Andy Warhol poster on the wall. And it was for an exhibition that was happening in, I think, South Australia. Mm. Yeah, Brendan's pointing. Brisbane.
Oh, Brisbane. The other way.
Somewhere.
That's where he's going, pointing up.
Anyway, I knew we were never going to it, but I liked the poster. And the poster was in bus shelters around town. I was like, oh, Andy Warhol. And then I looked at him and went, oh, we can't go to that. And then we were talking about it and we both admired it. And then one day, Brendan put on a hat.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if it was a fluoro vest or not, but he just drove up, lifted the top of it up, took the rolled up the poster.
Oh,
he was just, you know, helping the
recycling.
Guy. That's right. Because the guy was going to have to change it soon anyway. Yeah, so he did that. And that is the story of our poster, our stolen poster in the house. And all the kids' first day of school photos.
Yeah.
Front of the poster. That is part of our house.
The evidence.
The evidence. Yes. That's it. And it goes, you know, like if you put on a hat and a fluoro vest, you can probably get away with anything.
And you need the old...
clipboard?
The board. Or now you need not a laptop.
iPad.
An iPad or something.
That's
yeah.
It. That is exactly right.
Yeah.
So now we've got some fun facts. Mm-hmm. I think this one is funny for a couple of things because I'm not quite sure how, and I couldn't ascertain how they found out the type of soup it was, but the earliest archaeological evidence for the consumption of soup dates back to 6,000 BC.
Yeah.
And it was hippopotamus soup.
Whoa, that'd be a lot of soup.
I was going to say, it's a whole village of soup.
Wow.
Oh, and on soup.
Yeah.
By the way, just, you know how when you're sick, my mother called me yesterday.
Yeah.
Late in the afternoon. So, you know, when you get an odd phone call time, you kind of worry a little bit. I'm like, what? Yep, Mom. She goes, oh, I just listened to your podcast and your voice sounds like you were getting sick. Are you okay?
That was 2 weeks ago, Ma.
It's like, it's okay, Mom. Thank you. So I'm sure she would have soup on my list. Uh-huh. Now you hit us with the second one.
Okay. The second one, Americans eat more than 10 billion bowls of soup a year. That's a lot of soup.
That's a hell of a lot. That's more than I imagined. But that could be because we have soup and salad before dinner at some time, too.
Yeah. You go to restaurants, eat a lot of soup, and, well, winter time is good for soup.
Yep.
Cup of soup.
Cup of soup's always is in most people's desk drawer somewhere, or a version of it.
So that all counts as soup.
Okay, fair enough. And when
dirty dishwater counts as soup. My father used to say that. Going to a restaurant, oh, you may have to have a dishwater again. Yeah.
Oh, what was it? Brent and I went to lunch a while back and we went, oh, soup of the day. And it sounded like a minestrone. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And he goes, and the waiter was really honest. He goes, well, actually, it's more of a lentil base and there's no pasta in it. So it's sort of a vegan curry lentil soup. I'm like, how'd you get minestrone out of that? And we both went, we'll just have cake and coffee. Thank you. So fun fact number three, when foods, including soup, go through the canning process, nutrients are locked in. So the amount of vitamins and nutrients in the soup is the same on the day it was canned as it is a year from the canning date.
Yeah, except the softer.
That's right.
Yeah, mushy.
Freezes it in time. Yeah. You're not going to get the crunchy carrots out of it.
Okay, well, speaking of soupy, we're going to soup out of here and come back in a little bit after our first break. And we're back.
Yes, we are. Toasty warm. Mm. When you aren't feeling well, what's one of the first things you think of?
Medicine?
Well, yeah, but, you know.
Drugs?
Over the counter or, you know.
Yeah.
Soup.
That's what you want me to say.
That soup. Is what I want you to say, but that is often what happens.
Because you should drink a lot of liquids to flush everything out of you.
They keep you hydrated. Mm-hmm. They give your immune system a boost.
Yeah.
You can help stave off colds and flus. Even eating it, the steam helps.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know?
Especially like menudo.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so when you get the steam and with the cilantro over it and you squeeze the lime and it, so far, and the only, and I think probably the Vietnamese version of menudo is pho.
Yes, that's right.
It's the same deal. And they use tripe in it too.
Oh, I love it with tripe in it. We are probably the only two people at work that talk about tripe and go, ooh.
And it has the same fragrance because you put the leaves over it and you're squeezing the lime or the lemon juice into it and you get that fragrance as it comes up into your nose.
Anything that fresh is going to help. Mm. Now, we're discussing sort of different ones. So like Jewish penicillin was the nickname I always heard growing up for chicken soup.
Darling, you don't look good. You have some soup? I'll make you some. So matzo ball soup.
Matzo ball soup. So I was actually looking for a recipe today. I've tried different ones over the years, but this one sounded so good. I want to go out and make it. She actually, there's a couple things that she does for it, but what she's talking about being good for you is clears nasal congestion, high in tryptophan, which is another Seinfeld episode when they had the girl eat all the turkey, so they play with the toys, which helps your body create serotonin, which makes you, comforts you. Other names for is liquid gold, Jewish penicillin. But she, cold water over a chicken. And then she boils it for about 25 minutes or simmers it, scrapes everything off. And then she washes the chicken in the pot. She dumps everything out and she starts again with, and she said it has to be cold water because that's what gets the broth so clear.
Oh, Okay, there's right? a little hint from Heloise.
There we go. Yep. And I think it's a girl in her kitchen. I will confirm that. And then she gets parsley roots. Mm-hmm. She puts that in. Really good carrot. She gets carrot that have the green still on them. Right. She goes, because it just makes me feel like it's going to make me feel better. Yep. Two clean onions and celery. And that's pretty much it. She just keeps going through it and through it. And she was talking about how her mother used to feed her. She put a little bit of the meat on a piece of bread that had been dipped in the soup and then give that to her. So it's just, you're getting all the goodness. People are doing bone broths now. Mm. It's sort of the same thing. You're getting all the goodness out of everything.
And then, you know, like, you're talking about Jewish. My grandmother used to make Jewish penicillin, so to speak, for New Year's Day to get rid of all your hangovers and everything.
All the things need to be cleared.
But I remember she sending my father and my uncle Joey out to the Jewish market, to get a fresh killed chicken, a hen, and it had to be a hen with the eggs still in it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's how extreme it was. So I remember as a kid, and it was like only like down the block. There was like every neighborhood had a poultry market with fresh poultry, and the birds were alive. You go in there, they, you know, put it in like a funnel and
yes.
Yeah.
Sort of like we saw behind Sarah Palin with the turkeys at Thanksgiving. Yeah. Yes, I know what you're talking
unfortunately,
about.
Unfortunately, it'd be pretty hard to get that fresh of a chicken nowadays, but the taste was sweet.
Oh, it would be.
Yeah. It's totally different taste than anything you could imagine that you would get now.
Oh, well, this cook, she was talking about how she, in her area, she either gets a free range or she goes to the Amish market and gets an Amish chicken.
Yeah, because it'd be freshly killed that day. Yeah.
And, you know, corn fed, different color to it, all that good stuff, because that's what makes it. Mm. But I think once you have this, if you've grown up on the canned Campbell's.
My fingers are getting licked.
Oh, I'm sorry. That dog, well, you can move away from him, Phil. I know. you just don't want to disappoint the poor dog. Yes. And also, if you put some noodles in there, carbs make you feel better when you're sick as well.
Carbs always make me feel better.
Carbs are.
I could never go on a carb-free diet.
No, that's joy-free. That's what that is.
And then we got traditional soups.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we talked about the Jewish traditional soup. Because Italian would be like minestrone.
Yep.
I make a sort of like, traditional in my family, you could get them here in the markets, which are these big, they call them pumpkin. To me, they're a squash.
Yeah.
They're big, green. Sometimes they're a little furry. Not that they're bad, but they are. And you just cut them up in big slices. Mm-hmm. And I've made it a bread in for your daughter because I make it a vegetarian style. And you just cook it with onions, some tomatoes, some vegetable broth or chicken broth.
Yep.
And just cook it down till it gets soft. And then that's a really nice soup. Or you put little bits of macaroni or rice into it.
Ooh.
And it's really hearty and it's nice. And it's a very sweet tasting because that squash is sweet.
It's sweet. Did you ever have pastina? Was that one thing when you were sick? Well, Ainsley has discovered, like, no one's ever heard of it before. She goes, I'm going to make this thing. It's called pastina. But she couldn't.
It's baby pasta.
That's it.
It was made for babies.
That's it. But we couldn't get the tiny pasta. So we got the rizzoni, so the rice-shaped one. So she was sitting there with chicken broth and that, and she was happy. I'm like,
I'll have to look for a pasta. I don't think they sell it. I can't find it. Because I brought in lasagna just recently. That's the, you know, you have to boil it.
It's the not proper like lasagna. The sheets
that tastes like plaster, you know. So anyway, but we used to, like, you know, you make it in a light broth or just plain by itself with butter on it.
Oh yeah,
you know. And I remember even the packet, I either was La Rosa or Ronzoni, and had a little baby on it.
Yeah,
because that's what it was for. It's like baby food, like the first food.
Yes, and it's also when you're not feeling well. Anna, my friend Anna Simino, she's good at pastina. Mm. I've had it at her house. Now, there's also, so with traditional soups being from my area, even the chowder is sort of the other side, but like San Francisco clam chowder, like, oh my God. It is fantastic. It's creamy. You've got big, depending on where you go. I do think you have to, if you go to the city, you have to have, you know, the sourdough bowl. You have to experience the sourdough bowl. But
and it'd be a big difference if it's made fresh or or they cheat and open up a can.
Well, yeah. And one of the fish markets slash restaurants are closing after like 99 years. I saw it the other day. I can't think of the name right now, which is sad because that's the place where I got mine the last time we were in San Francisco. And it's a safe place to go because you can see the, almost everything like the made. Chicken. Yeah. The things are still partially moving and, you know, it's fresh and beautiful. But that sort of thing, I also like having, and we'll talk about it when we talk about different countries, but pozole or menudo, which is stew soup, all those things are just.
They're good.
Yeah. They're good. Absolutely. So you can have pureed, which we'll move on to the last one. So you kind of have your clear soups. Your cream soups, which chowder would be, or cream of
broccoli.
Oh, yum.
Yeah.
I made a cream of.
Or broccoli and cheese soup. That's from Maine or somewhere, or Massachusetts.
I made a cauliflower and blue cheese one once. It was so good.
Beef, so rich.
It was really nice.
That wouldn't be on the diet soups, well, which we'll go to next.
No. That's not it. And then you've got your crunchy, like your veggie soup.
Your pasta soups.
Just throw everything in.
Yeah, whatever you like.
Barley, the soup I had.
Like people like put croutons on their soups.
Yeah,
or oyster crackers.
That's right. People are nuts for oyster crackers.
That just came in too.
Oh.
That was one of the things.
There'll be some happy people with that, or crushed saltines over the top if you can't get a hold of them. Now.
And you know what's also really good? We do get in once in a while. We order in, and things have been really tough in getting goldfish of any type, but the original goldfish are like sautines, but taste better.
Yeah. Mm. And then it's cute when you float them on the top of your soup.
Yeah. Well, that's why they're goldfish. Yeah.
But who knew that would become the great toddler taming, bribing food that it has
after
become.
Cheerios.
Cheerios. That's right. Now, Phil, what are your go-tos for your soups?
I don't know. I've always liked the hearty soups. So like the beef and barley. Barley. And so that's probably one of my first go-to pea soup with ham hock in it. And that'd be that's up there. So those, and the other one, the lamb one that I do with the barley too. You know, and the parsnips grind up into it and all that. So the parsnips just give it the, not texture on it, but it gives it the body.
Yeah.
Because it just melts down.
Yeah. Now, do you keep stock on hand or do you sort of make it through?
No, I buy like the box stock.
The box stuff.
Yeah. I'm too lazy to make fresh stock.
Well,
do it right, you got to really like it. Well, get good bones and roast them first, they say, and then you put them in the pressure cooker.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things you kind of need to see a special happen, and then you do it, and then you make a bunch of you freeze it. It's sort of like it's a day's process. Yeah. You have to write on the things, Phil.
I do. You notice the soup I gave you was already.
I was impressed with that. Yeah. And when I took the other half home, I could use the our sealer that we've got at work. I went,
it's perfect. So it's just a heat sealer.
That's a heat sealer. Went back. Now, in Australia, the first soup I ever had here, and I'd never heard of it, was pumpkin soup. Mm. And it is the quintessential Australian favorite.
Because Americans think of pumpkin
in pie.
As a spicy seasoned article, you know, like pumpkin spice and all that. And Australians think of it as something that you make soup out of.
Yeah, or roast or all of that. And I remember going, it's pumpkin soup, I don't know about that. And when I go home, I see it around more often because people have sort of grown
through. They don't use the same pumpkin as they make pumpkin pies out of.
No, because that's a whole
different type of pumpkin.
Yeah, so I think the safest one is butternut squash to use that. Yeah.
How did it get over, like over here, you had the Jap pumpkins.
Yes.
How is that still allowed?
I don't know, Phil. I am not on the list of approvals.
Where's the cancel people?
they'll get there next. They'll be called blue special because they're blue.
They're blue.
Or green.
Well, they could call them Japanese pumpkins.
Well, they could, but it might even come from that. I don't know.
I don't know.
They're too hard to cut. Those things, you need a chainsaw to get through them.
A lot of pumpkins are that way.
I didn't understand. I had a very difficult time in a few
years. We used to get big cheese pumpkins in Jersey.
Because you make pies out of that.
Yeah, you can make pies out of it. My mother used to cut it up and saute it with a lot of garlic.
Oh,
and it was just so good. Because then it's like it's really soft and everything. And that was really nice squash to do that with.
Oh, that's beautiful. Mm. I do.
Oh, pumpkin. Yeah.
Well, we kind of crossover.
Yeah, pumpkin squash.
It's a crossover. There's I have a good recipe like that where I do it with a bit of soy sauce as well. Like just a bit of something different and then some sesame seeds on top. And
you
just
gotta do it with
melty.
The crab seasoning. Oh.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh. Right. Try Let's everything.
Move on to soup diets. You only got one here, right?
Well, there's two.
Two. You got and the cabbage soup. That'll keep people away from you after a while.
Oh, my God. And they go, it's so filling.
Yeah, it's
but
like
really,
soup. Yeah.
These are the things. And, well, Darren's has his own thing. I'll go to that in a second.
Okay.
But the cabbage soup diet has been around since I can remember being able to read and seeing photocopied things going around, people doing it. So it's a Weight Watchers soup as well. It's a whole bunch of vegetables.
Yeah.
Pretty much with lots of cabbage, and you have to eat it. That's all you can eat for like a week. Who? That's hell. That's purgatory.
Yeah.
These are.
Happen at the beginning of the week, and that's it.
Yeah. That's right. These are why things called diets
don't work,
and aren't
because they're boring, and you can't
eat.
Good
and
stuff.
They're made to fail.
I want the fried food diet,
or at least a bit of variation. But you know, speaking of that, Darren Hinch, his. And if anyone can find the book in an op shop somewhere, because I've seen him there and I didn't pick it up. His diet was a bottle of wine.
That's why he had a liver transplant.
And just like all soup, like a soup for lunch and a bottle of wine during the day and you're fine.
Yeah.
I was like.
Well, he overdid it with the wine.
He did. This was during the 90s when we were not as smart about things. Mm. That's when you had the things like the Israeli army diet and all those awful things that people try to or hot dog diets.
Yeah.
No, not good. But if you're trying to fill yourself up with good things, a soup is a good thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, because it is nutrient dense, but not as your only alternative.
Mm-hmm. So now we're going to go into different types of soup.
Different types. So these are countries, like their soups.
Yeah.
And like for the first one, gazpacho. Which is Spanish, but it's cold soup.
It's cold soup, and it's really good if it's made right.
Oh yeah, it is.
Even out of when I went to one of the food shows, we got some gazpacho soup from the, you know, from the Spanish grouping, and they gave us like one to take home out of it was in a glass jar.
Nice.
He's buying on the shelf, and it was just beautiful.
Oh well, you often see that. At sort of weddings or cocktail party things where they'll have a little shot glass.
Yeah, with an oyster in it.
That's better. Mm. And then if on the cold soup thing, then there's the vichyssoise, which is the French cold potato soup too.
And then you got the Jewish one, which is the fruit soup.
Oh, fruit soup.
Fruit soup. And this goes up to what we used to call the Jewish Alps, which is the Catskills.
Mm-hmm.
So – which is like no longer. It's unfortunate. Like all the old places are up there because everybody, you know, gets out of fashion and nobody wants to go up to Catskills and go to a resort like that. But the food that they used to serve you there was like a lot of homemade style foods. And one was a fruit soup in the summertime.
Oh, that'd be lovely.
Beautiful. It's like fruit. And then they mixed it with like a yogurt base.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so. It was great.
That's lovely. Now, for anyone that is not sure about the Catskills or what that was like, if you've seen Dirty Dancing, that's where they try to put baby in a corner and it didn't work.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true because that was supposed to be up in the Catskills.
That's
and that's
right.
Where a lot of, you know, comedians started.
Yeah, comedians in different – yeah. So there was its own sort of off-season sort of – like you'd have your summer season
out there.
That was
the place where they got started and it worked because they always had an audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because part of the deal was, you know, you stay there and you get to go to the shows and stuff like that. So there was always things happening. So there was shows at night, probably bingo, of course. And then for the kids, there was, you know, because you're out in the open, there was baseball to play and tennis. And it's all these activities, horseback riding, all these activities up there. Up in the Catskills.
Any movie that I see that in, I was always a bit jealous of that whole thing, as in a good way, because I was like, that would be nice to have that summer. It's almost like a cruise on land. There's everything happening all the time.
And it was good for the college students because they all worked up there in the summertime.
Mm-hmm. Well, nice. Now we're going to go to France.
France.
French onion soup.
Mm. Now, that's also if it's made right.
Oh, my goodness. Mm. That is magnificent. And it's perfect when it's just about the layer of cheese. So it's a beautiful beef broth with onions. And then if you have the layer of cheese on top of the French bread, just the right temperature to take the first layer of skin off the roof of your mouth. Yeah. I remember having that my dad took me to a French restaurant. That's where I had snails the first time, but I had the whole experience. But do you know when I went away, I didn't have any while I was there. I didn't have any French onion soup. And I feel like I ripped myself off, which means
you got to go back.
I've got to go back. Yes, that's it. So now you've got Asian soups, like in Thailand, you've got Tom Yum soup, which is
nice. It's spicy.
It is spicy. That is very good. Mm. Any Asian soup to clear
Your sinuses.
Oh, my God. To clear your sinuses, make you feel better. I'm going to skip down because on the same line, like if you get – we're talking with pho. You get a good one, you can put your own chili in it and just warms you from the inside out.
We got a good Vietnamese restaurant. It's only open Monday to Friday right around the corner from us.
Yes. We need to make a run there. We haven't organized ourselves.
I ran there yesterday.
Did you again?
Yeah, I had the
banh mi.
Yeah, the banh mi.
Yes,
which is so tasty. God, it's so good. Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe Monday we have to look at this, or I do. Now China has
pho was really good too.
Well, it'd be nice to get a selection of things and just bring it back and have it.
I can't think of the name of the place now. I'm blank. It's the lady's name.
Yes, it is.
Three letters.
It's like Mrs. Lee's?
No, it's – and the girl that runs it, young girl that runs the place, but really good food.
Okay. It's on South Road, isn't it?
It's on – actually, it's all right off of South Road. And again, I'm blank right now. I can't think of it.
We'll make a note. Make a note because it's sitting – the menu's at work sitting up because we're not there. Now, Chinese – so in China, like there's wonton soups, also short soup. Chicken and sweet corn, which I think is an
anglicized
version.
I used to like the hot sour soup. Remember?
Yes.
I don't think they do that here.
No, because we've talked before how the Chinese food is different. Yeah, it's so different.
But even the wonton soup, I remember in New York, it was like these big wontons. And it was like because of the way they were made or whatever, how they made the wonton wrap, there was very glutinous almost.
Yes.
And it was so good. Like you drink all the soup and leave the good part, the noodles for last. Yeah.
That's right. That was like the bonus. And, you know, and there's actually, we didn't put it down here, but there's the soup dumplings that you get. They are so good. So it's a little bowl of soup in the middle.
And then the fried wontons too.
Oh, wontons are just so good.
And people always ask on America's Down Under and that the fried wonton with the cream cheese in it. What do they call that?
I can't think of the name of it, but I know.
We're both having...
We haven't had to order that for ages, though. Like, we haven't eaten it.
Yeah. I can't think of the name. It's like at the top of my – it ain't coming out.
Just Google.
Just Google it, yeah. But everybody knows what we're talking about.
Yeah. That is very good.
Crab Rangoo or something like that. Yeah, there we go.
And the winner is there.
Yay.
But I hadn't seen fried wontons on a menu for ages, and we went to our local Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
And so I was sitting there. It was Ainsley, Brendan, and I. And I was like, oh, they've got fried wontons.
Yeah.
And I was like, Ainsley, do you want to try those? Because I'm ordering them. And then I got sad because we shared them because I didn't have
– order more.
But, yes, so now I know where they are. Now, we've gone to the pumpkin soup we have discussed.
Yeah.
Now, minestrone soup. And then it's not quite the soup, but you talk about New Year's Day as well with the broccoli and the lemon juice is sort of like another – soup, like when you cook the broccoli, your family would cook the broccoli.
Oh, yeah.
Steam it.
Well, it's just steam it and the broccoli juice and then squeezing a fresh lemon juice over it and olive oil.
Mm.
And that's all you need.
Yeah.
Because you don't need to put salt on it because the lemon, the acidity from that, it makes it good. And we were away on a hockey trip and myself and Pasquale was doing all, so he's French, I'm Italian. We were doing all the cooking and so I made that.
Was Southie on that trip?
Yeah.
Yep.
He did not much. He ate.
I was going to say he would have enjoyed that. Yeah. I don't imagine him cleaning afterwards.
No, that was pretty difficult to get him off the couch. so anyway, an easy way to do it, you buy your broccoli, cut a little bit off the stem because stem is good. Now everybody's saying, oh, you know, because everything's so expensive, you know, you got to eat the stem and all. But we always ate the stem.
Yeah.
So just cut it up, put a little bit of water, cover it over it, some Glad wrap, put it in the microwave for about a minute and a half. Take it off. Watch how you take it off because it'll be steaming.
Yep.
Then squeeze your lemon over it, pour some olive oil on it. You're done. Oh. And it's just so good.
That sounds
so simple.
Sounds like lunch today. Oh, Phil, your favorite.
Borscht.
Yeah,
borscht. No. Skip the borscht.
You will skip it. I do love it. But that's another, like, a hearty soup that's Ukrainian. Yeah. Japanese soup. So not only do we have miso, but with, like, the ramen.
You know, it's good about the – you see that movie about the ramen girl or something like
that? No, someone has talked about that recently. I'm writing it down again.
Yeah, so that was – and it's a true story, so you should watch that. But it's the only soup that you could really, like, slurp it. And the more you slurp, you know, that's like an award for the chef that it's that good.
Yeah. Oh, we – Kenzie and I, when we went to Japan, we went to one of these ramen places.
Yeah.
And we walked in and it's like they go, hey!
Yeah, right.
And we had them, and he just like, this is just cute two people sitting here. And, hello, tourists. But we had the best time, and it was just, you are so full, and it's beautiful.
And you're sweating and everything else.
You've got the whole, it's like a religious experience with all that.
And then you got Mexico.
Mexico with pozole.
So what's actually pozole? Is that the one with the meatballs in it?
No, that's the one that has pork in it, and you use the hominy in it, and it's I think it's come on New Year's Day as well. Like, I've seen it at restaurants because we're lucky enough to have, you know, family friends that own Mexican restaurants, and it would be on the menu, or people would give you some, and it's a really hearty, yummy soup.
Yeah.
So when we have the hominy at work, and a lot of people will say, "Oh, what do we use that for?" And I said, "Well, you can use it for pozole, or you can just make the best stuff with hominy."
Okay. Now I got some.
Please tell.
Some of my own.
Thank you. Well, we like that, Phil.
Yeah. So, yeah, speaking of Japan, now these are probably more traditional, uncommon type suits.
Or maybe some people
call them disgusting. That's possible. Ooh. So, like from Japan, one of the delicacies there is cod. Well, you know, cod.
Cod's
a nice fish. Cod sperm soup.
Right. Mm. That seems like a lot of trouble.
So it's called shakawa.
Yeah.
Okay. And it comes in a little sack. You could eat it raw.
Right.
Or you could cook it in your soup, and it's very custard-like.
Ooh.
Okay. And then they have this is not, didn't write down where this one, but there's a cow stomach soup, which is also like menudo.
Yeah.
Because it's striped.
Yeah.
And then Korea has a maekgeok.
Right.
Okay. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but it's a seaweed soup. So it's from a sea, what they call a sea mustard. So it's very popular with the expected mothers. So it's like a mother soup.
Right. Mm.
So it's high in calcium, but it's like, you know, it's like this real, it's not like the seaweed. It's like the like sometimes you go to the beach and get this real big thing.
Yeah,
so that's what it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And they're using that. And it's also good for birthday. So it's like a birthday soup.
Okay. I'm going to have Korean food tomorrow night.
Yeah. And other weird ones that I found, there's a bat soup. And it's not like a broth of bat. It's like the bat is in the soup itself, a little bat.
Well, that can cause all sorts of trouble.
You probably get COVID from that.
Yes.
And you get, then from China, there's a deer placenta soup.
Oh, Jesus. Right.
But it's good for you. You know, it makes
But people eat placenta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they make little pills now.
And there's, I think this one was also from Korea, is kibiru, K-I-B-U-R-U.
Mm-hmm.
It's made of bananas.
Right.
And dirt.
Dirt.
Yeah.
Well, I'd suppose there's some minerals. There's your base mineral.
Clean your teeth. Yeah. And then from Tanzania.
Yes.
The supa. It's a breakfast treat. So it's goat's lung.
Right.
Okay. And heart. So goat's lung and heart.
Okay.
People's lung and heart. I remember I used to go to the butcher all the time by heart and lung, beef heart and lung for my dad, and he cut it up and fed the dog.
Well, I personally enjoy chicken hearts
myself
fried.
So, love but them. That's not all. They put the goat's lung and heart in it because, right. like everybody on peasant food, they eat the whole animal.
Well, you don't waste anything.
Waste anything. Okay. And then they also use cow stomach, which again is a tripe, and hooves,
which is your gelatinous material.
It's like jello. Yes.
That is right.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a blood soup as well.
There's a blood soup. There's a lot of
Japanese.
Yeah. Well, you do blood pudding.
I love blood pudding.
Yeah, so it's basically the same formula.
Yes, yeah. Just what coagulates.
Just to throw some new things in there.
Well, we have to, it's a broad world and there's lots of things. Yeah. And like Anthony Bourdain said, you just eat everything.
Yep, if it comes on your plate, eat it.
Eat it.
Yeah. Most you can do is not like it.
That's it. And the man only got sick once. Yeah. After all of those things.
Well, the thing is also, what they say when you're traveling, especially to like a third world country and stuff, is if it's not hot, but you see the steaming coming out of it, and that's probably true at any restaurant, or if it's supposed to be cold, and if it's not cold,
there's an issue.
That in-between temperature, that's what's going to kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's even when I remember coming over here, used to go to the sandwich shops, and you had all the sandwiches already made with Glad wrap around it, sitting on top of the counter, unchilled.
Yeah.
And people were getting sick. You don't see that anymore because they cracked down on it.
No, that's right.
So now it's all kept under refrigeration.
I remember going to Hawaii when I was a kid. I was about 14. And they had like street food. Yeah. And my mom was sort of like, you can have shave ice, but I'm not sure about the rest of it.
But it's got to be hot. If it's hot and steamy, whatever was living in it that will kill you, it's dead.
That's like the dishwater dogs. They're all steamy.
Yeah. I don't know about the water, but...
As long as they change it, we got to hope. Now, the base of a good soup is a stock. Do you?
No.
What do you do?
Through that. I mean,
did you ever?
I do once in a while.
Okay.
Yeah, like a chicken stock or something like that. But I'm not, I don't have the patience for sitting around making stock. I'm going to make, I just don't. Like a lot of times it's spur of the moment. I'm going to make like the beef and barley. Yeah. Well, I'll always have in the cupboard some liters of box soup.
It's a thing where I'll do over a weekend. I like making a bunch of like chicken stock, but I now have changed. So if I'm in a hurry, and I don't, but Martha Stewart, I saw her do it and then I tasted the difference. I roast everything.
Yeah.
So like the bones and stuff.
The roast to get more flavor out.
Yeah. And so I would do that and then continue with the stock.
Yeah.
And now those boxes of stock, which are fantastic, they have like Asian bases and different bases. Yeah. So it's great because you always add more, you always have to add your seasoning to make it right. But at least you've got a good,
base
to start with it. Mm-hmm. Yes. So
you got any soup tricks? Like I had a bowl of soup that took a leap off the table once.
What did you do?
It was a trick,
my God.
And the soup did a trick, yeah. Ended up on the floor.
Now, I have done things when you're trying to fix things. Mm-hmm. So usually I will – so if I'm making a basic soup, usually I'll do the celery and –
the basic stuff.
The basic celery and onion and carrot and then fry that up in olive oil. I have a hard time not putting garlic in things, even when I'm not supposed to. So at this point, I either
turn it. Garlic's good for you. Yeah, I mean, there's garlic soup out there too.
There's the chicken with the 40 cloves of garlic. Oh. I have to make that one day because the house would smell amazing. So I'll do that. But then it's like whether you're going to thicken it. Tricks for thickening soup. So you've made it.
Yeah.
Or it's too salty. You've added too much salt.
And more water.
That's more water. Let's say you've got this vat now.
Yeah.
Or something have sat for a day and maybe become too salty. Sometimes that happens. If you have any mashed potato flakes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that'll thicken it.
That'll thicken it. Yep. And it'll also sort of kind of counteract some of the salt.
Yep.
That's a handy thing that I've learned.
Arrowroot.
Arrowroot. That's right.
That's a new one you learned.
That's
Lee's tip. You could do that as well.
And then one of my tips is always, the barley soup I made recently, I used brown lentils.
Yes.
But the difference between brown lentils is it adds texture because they still stay firm after you cook them.
Right.
As opposed to the barley, which gets soft. And but usually it's not good as much as a thickener as the red lentils are. So the red lentils you use as a thickener because they'll just disappear. You won't even see them in the soup after they cook. And they thicken and they're healthy for you. Lentils is like one of the healthiest things you could, because it's a legume, right? A
legume.
Legume.
Brendan's eaten those. He hasn't known. Oh. Same thing. Like they just disappear into it. I think soup, a good soup has to have fat in it. So like with the chicken soup, having, you know.
Fat is flavor. But do you skim your soups?
I'll skim the scum.
Yeah.
But if I want to take some of the fat off, I'll pop it in the fridge.
Yeah. Or so throw ice cubes in it.
Oh, that's a good idea. I haven't done that. I'm sure I've read that. I haven't. I have tried the paper towel over the top, but it's like messy. I've used 47 paper towels and I'm still in the same boat. So don't use that. But I just like you just have to keep tasting as you make, as you know that.
Yeah. You got to keep on.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so those are my soup tricks that I can think of, but don't put it past me to go, ooh, later on. Arnold Horshack.
Yeah. Okay. Mr. Gatta. Okay. Now we're going to go to the soup Nazis and flavor. So the soup Nazi, famous on Jerry Seinfeld.
Yep.
And it's a real guy.
That's what made it so good. Yeah.
So I think it got found because several members of his production crew went over to the Soup Kitchen International in New York City for lunch when the owner recognized, and his name is Al. Yeah, what is
Yegna, it? I think. Yegna. Or
recognized
Yegna.
Jerry. He flew into a profanity-filled rant about how his show ruined his business. I can't see that.
No, I think he
maybe because he didn't want to work that hard, because it would have just took off after that.
That's
Yeah, he was already busy.
And then you just made it worse for me.
Yeah.
No soup for you anyway.
Yeah, so that's why he demanded an apology from Jerry. Yeah. And according to writer Spike Ferriston, Jerry gave, quote, the most insincere, sarcastic apology ever given. Mm-hmm. And then Yegna yelled, no soup for you, and immediately ejected them from the premises. the person is actually writing this is a gentleman named Todd Wilbur. So he, knowing that to upset Al was to risk being yelled at and possibly evicted like Jerry, it was with great caution that he approached the order window and asked the soup Nazi a few questions about the November 1995 episode that made him famous. Needless to say, the interview was very brief.
Out!
So today on our our USA Foods Theater, we will present you with this interview. Todd, played by Barbara, and the soup Nazi, Al Yegna, played by Phil.
Okay.
How do you feel all the publicity that followed the Seinfeld episode?
I didn't need it. I would known well long before him. I didn't need it.
But it must have been good for business, right?
He used me. I didn't use him. He used me.
How many people do you serve in a day?
I can't talk to you. If I talk to you, I can't work.
How many different soups do you serve?
I can't talk. Move to the left.
Now, the soups that were mentioned in the episode, we haven't mentioned
any. No soup for you.
That's right. No soup for me. Haven't been mentioned in any of the things we've talked about already. So, cream of sweet potato soup.
Yeah.
Indian mulligatawny. Yep. Wasn't that a Paul McCartney song? Crab bisque.
It's one of my favorite Paul McCartney soup, Paul and Linda. I love that song. That whole thing, yeah.
Mulligatawny.
Yeah.
Yep.
The whole video and everything. It's just great.
That's pretty. And Mexican chicken chili, which is not a soup. It's a chili. So no soup for him.
But also going back to that and there is a special, you probably find it on YouTube. So you can find the clip from the video of it. Mm-hmm. And then they did another segment when they were filming it and how they got the guys together. And they all got pissed afterwards, in the bar.
Down the beach, weren't they?
Yeah. And then they found, in Scotland or whatever. Yeah, but then they found all these guys to play with them. Oh. From this bar or pub. And
good
they just had a great time. And it's all documented and all filmed.
Oh, I love it. It seems as though what he loved to do and still loves to do. Now, if you want to try the soup Nazis recipes.
Yeah. Well, no, but how could they get them? They were sacred, you know. Remember that? That was the other episode.
That was the other. But you know, my mother and
I got their recipe.
Yeah, that's right.
My mother and I are like kitchen witches. We'll sit there when we get together,
yeah,
and we'll like something, and she goes, "Taste that. What's in that?" I was like, "Is it marjoram or is it this?" And I'm like, "Oh, I think there's a little bit of this," and then we will try to break it down.
Yeah.
So if you did it, now I've never had the soup Nazis, but you can get on topsecretrecipes.com. And there's a whole bunch of things like places that we like, yeah, you know, Shake Shack, et cetera. And Stuart Anderson's Black Angus. I wonder what that is. Maybe salad dressing or side dish. Anyway, you can find it there, folks.
Every franchise is listed here.
I know.
Romano's Macaroni Grill, Ruth Chris's, which is a steakhouse, Rayo's. Red Lobster.
We should do this once a week. Fake recipe, whose turn?
Yeah.
And bring something in.
Pizza Uno? What kind of soup would they make out of pizza?
Well, no, that's not soup. It's just the recipes.
Oh, the recipes. Oh, okay.
For the soup Nazi, you can get his.
Yeah, okay. I don't see my favorite here, which I can't find a true recipe for. El Pollo Loco.
I know, but Megan sent you what was close, she thought was close.
Oh, I have to go through that again.
We'll go through that again.
Okay. Probably sent them when I wasn't in one of my cooking moves.
So well, now because it's wintry,
now I'll do
you're
it.
Into it. I will get that back out for you. Now, probably if you think of a can of soup, you can't look at a can of Campbell's soup without sort of associating it with Andy Warhol.
Yeah.
So when he first exhibited Campbell's soup cans in 1962, the canvases were displayed together on shelves like products in a grocery aisle. Mm. At the time, Campbell's sold 32 soup varieties. Each one of Warhol's 32 canvases corresponds to a different flavor. His 32 Campbell's soup cans is one of the most prized pieces at the New York Museum of Modern Art.
Wow.
So Andy Warhol, he was a creature of habit. He had sort of he was sick a lot as a kid,
yeah,
in his childhood, so soup was actually a real strong part of his childhood. Campbell's soup cans resembles the mass produced. Warhol mimicked the repetition and uniformity of advertising by carefully reproducing the same image across individual cans. He varied only the label on the front of each can, distinguishing them by their variety. Warhol said of Campbell's soup, "I used to drink it. I used to have the same lunch every day for 20 years. I guess the same thing over and over again."
I was in one of those modes that one time.
Were you?
Yeah, true story. So yes. I was going to Regina Pontius.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Italian grammar school of Brooklyn. Yeah. Okay. And so we used to have a lunch period. Remember, yeah, we used to have a lunch period. So I didn't want to eat downstairs in the cafeteria and get beat up by the nuns because they didn't finish everything.
Yes.
So I was a rebel and got, I think my mother used to give me a quarter a day or something like that to go buy lunch. You know, nice. And so I don't know how I got out of not going down there because I think I said, "Oh, I'm going home for lunch." And so the nuns will let you out.
Yes.
Okay. It's like getting let out. Here's my green card. So I went down to Qantas to his luncheonette, and every day, I don't know for how long, I had cream of mushroom soup.
Yum.
So they had at the time, they had like this little dispenser thing by Campbell's,
really,
with a bunch of different soups, all in like little smaller cans, but they were all ready
so
to
not
serve.
Condensed. Yeah, yeah.
So they opened up the can and they poured it in this little thing and it warmed it up. And I had a thing of soup with, I don't know, some crackers or whatever. Every day I had cream of mushroom soup.
It's like lunch at an experience.
Yeah. Like, I was like the Andy Warhol of Bensonhurst. You know? But, you know, like Andy, awesome, like he hung out like at Studio 54. Uh-huh. He made that famous. And Lou Reed, we made, yeah, him famous. Well, yeah, I know they both made each other famous, you know.
Well, and then, you know, he changed, he made art accessible to, yeah,
well, a lot. Well, he did their first album, the first album cover with Lou Reed's band, the one with the banana,
yeah,
on it.
Yeah, yeah. He was, I always thought he was pretty amazing. Yeah.
Velvet Underground, that's the name, yeah, of the group.
Yeah, yeah. And we've been watching something recently that has G. Gordon Liddy in it. And I just remember these characters, like Andy Warhol being a character and G. Gordon Liddy and all these people that you would see on talk shows and, you know.
Oh, Phil Donahue, you mean?
No, I mean, like, well, they would be on things from Laugh-In to Mike Douglas, to, you know, Merv Griffin, to all, and sort of just strange, wonderful people when, you know, I came from like not a big city. So I, my weird was a different weird that I saw, but it just made like art accessible and bright things rather than the dark sort of traditional art. And I just loved him. So I've always had an affinity, and I didn't eat that much. Didn't eat that much soup. I don't think mom was a canned soup fan.
No, a lot of people don't.
It'd be more grandma. Maybe she was. Although there's nothing.
Make everything fresh.
There's nothing. Here's my soup tip.
Yeah.
There's no better lunch as a 5-year-old or a 55-year-old than some tomato soup, but instead of mixing it with water, you mix it with milk and a grilled cheese sandwich. Ooh. And then you dip the grilled cheese into the tomato soup.
Oh,
beautiful. That is
soup
perfection.
I thought you
perfection.
Would get alphabet soup. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. And I always got ripped off. There weren't enough B's. I tried to do my name. I just never could do my name.
Well, you need alphabet cereal then.
That's right. Alphabets. Or Apple Jacks. No, just
joking. They don't have
anything. No, they don't have anything in it.
No letters. Okay. Well, that ends up our part about the soupsies. And we'll be right back after this important break.
Love like mine. You know that love is true.
Okay, we're back.
And we are looking at a page full of deliciousness.
Goodies. Yeah, now this deliciousness is coming to us for 4th of July, but it's the Maple Leaf Meat Van.
That's
so
right.
So this corresponds also with Canada Day.
That's right. We look after all our North American family and friends.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to celebrate both on on the 2nd, which is a Saturday.
Yes.
And there's also a special going on at Bad Shepherd.
Yes, that's
Brewery.
Near us. Yeah.
Now he's doing a big O Canada Day. So just Google Bad Shepherd if you're in Melbourne. And if you're Canadian or just want to be. And just get the O's out, right?
And be very polite.
And be nice. And if anybody says you're American, no, I'm from the Great North.
That is right. Yeah. And Bad Shepherd has some good food.
Or they make
too.
Peanut butter beer too,
and
which is good.
It is good, isn't it? Yes. I try all those different ones, and Brendan looks at me like I'm insane. But now let me just tell you a few things that the van offers. Mm-hmm. Different sorts of wings, from honey barbecue, wild whiskey, blue boys wings, full racks of ribs, rib meals, and a bunch of burgers from the plain Jane to the maple beef burger. There will be options for our plant-based friends. So now, warning, last time the food truck sold out. Yeah, Will Robinson. Warning, Will Robinson. Danger, danger. The food truck sold out way early last time. So come on down and just maybe.
Hopefully the weather's nicer than it's been. Well, look, the sun's out now.
But just keep an eye on the socials for exact timing if anything changes. But just put it in your plans and come on down and visit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, so housekeeping time.
Oh, Phil, you are the only one that can say the code of the month.
Nitro. Burning methane. It's just nitro.
Okay. It's just nitro. On the USA Foods website, you can click on the listener discount logo on any items and see what specials are happening for you. Mm-hmm. The store is open 7 days a week. You can check our website for hours. Please subscribe to the podcast, and you can share it with your friends. And if you want to drop us a line, you can at podcast@usafoods.com.au.
Okay. Now, personal best.
Yes.
So I guess I'll
it's
go
your
first.
Your turn.
My turn. Oh, we only do one?
Yeah. Oh. Last week was mine.
Oh, okay.
And mine involved alcohol, which is not unusual for me.
Okay. Well, mine, and I just unpacked it today, took it off the palette, is Blue Diamond Wasabi and Soy Almonds.
Oh.
They are...
Did you have to try some to make sure they were okay?
In fact, I didn't even take a can home with me. But when I was back in Kansas, and I went to Walmart, and I bought just that. And then has on it, you know, it's not a healthy snack, what they call a smart snack.
Well, it is.
Yeah, maybe has a little bit too much sodium, but the almonds are very good for you.
Yeah, and everything, you know.
And that little wig of wasabi that's in it. You know, it's almost like the wasabi peas. Okay. So I buy these ones at the local Asian store, and they come in a tin with a guy's picture on it or something. Yep. It's a green tube, tin. Unbelievable. They're just like, can't stop eating them. And then I went to Aldi, and I said, oh, they got wasabi things here. Now let me try those. Awful.
Right.
So there you go. So there's one problem that I solved. Don't buy the wasabi peas at Walmart because they're terrible. Not Walmart. What did I say? Did I say Walmart? No.
Well, you were talking about Walmart earlier.
Yeah, Aldi.
Aldi. Well,
they need to improve on their supplier. But if you go to any, and I did see it at other Asian stores. So it's wasabi peas, and it's a green cylinder tin.
Yeah. Well, I would think that is the optimum place to buy a wasabi pea would be at the Asian store.
Yeah. Well, the difference is, so these ones are made in Thailand, mm-hmm. even though they're a Japanese delicacy, so to speak. And the ones in Aldi were made in China.
Well, there you
go. So they didn't have their good recipe.
Fair enough. And also, can I just say, going back to Blue Diamond, a lot of the almonds
from California
are from my part of California. Yeah. So enjoy
sucking
this.
Up all that water.
That is right.
Water well, that if, they don't have anymore.
Yeah, well, if Southern California didn't try to take all of them. Yeah. Anyway, that's a different topic. I didn't even have a rant. I stopped early with that one.
Knowledge nuggets.
Yeah. I think I've given a few away today.
Yeah.
That was I'll recap my mashed potato flakes in a soup if you need to thicken or take some of that salt away.
Yeah.
But now, Phil, do you have anything off the top of your head?
Yeah. Speaking of soups.
Yes.
So the thing, well, I already said I like to put as a thickener in there the red lentils.
Yes.
Okay. But also I like to put the parsnips.
Yes. Okay.
But I grate them. So I grate them on a cheese grater, you know, on the side with the long things on them.
Yeah.
So I grate them on that and put it in the soup. And that gives a nice creamy texture to it also. So it's a good thing to put in your soup.
That's nice. Mm. Do you ever use rutabaga or swede?
No.
Oh, that's really good because it's sweet.
Yeah, I never looked at them. You know?
Well, it's funny because mom's going, I can't find – she tried her friend.
Funny name, rutabaga.
I know. Well, that's only the American one. It's like her friend Heather made her these lovely roasted Swedes, like with a roast dinner. Mm-hmm. She goes, I've never tasted it. I'm like, what is that? Where can I find it? We went home and I was in Podesta's with her. I went, it's a rutabaga.
It's a rutabaga.
I know it's the same thing. That's what it is. Different name. But that might be another nice addition. Mm-hmm. Now, we have our friend Alan, who has his Facebook barbecue site that we've talked about before, and he sent us a whole bunch of hints that I'm going to read out.
Read out some and save some for another time?
Well, no, because it's like a process. It's a process because Alan was looking after us. Mm-hmm. So this is the first one's about fish cooking. When cooking fish, either on the barbecue or in the griddle pan, there are a few little tricks to getting it right. First, make sure the barbecue hot plate or the pan is nice and hot. This helps crisp up the skin if you're cooking fish with skin still on one side, such as salmon. If you're cooking skinless fish, it will help seal in the seasoning. Make sure that you season the skin well, or if skinless fish, season one side well. I use kosher salt and Old Bay seasoning as my usual seasoning of choice. Cook the skin side or season side down first. Cook the fish about 80 to 90% of the way through on this side before turning it over. The reason you do this is because the skin side with the or the season side is your presentation side. The barbecue plate or pan are clean when you first start cooking the fish, so the presentation side will be nice and clean. Mm. I never thought of that. Only turn over the fish once! Exclamation point. As fish cooks, it starts to flake. If you turn it too often, it will fall apart. Serve presentation side up. I like to serve my fish on a bed of asparagus with carrots, pomme puree, basically mashed potatoes with a French twist, and if barbecuing, grilled peppers or corn on the cob. When cooking fish in the pan, I like to use canola oil and then add a little butter once the pan is hot and the fish is in. The butter keeps the fish flesh, that's hard to say, nice and soft, and the oil stops the butter from burning. Cheers, and I will send some more nuggets in the future if you like.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen.
And I'm making salmon tonight. So.
Ooh, nice. Let me know.
I'm going to do it into my hot skillet outside in my pizza oven.
Oh, yes.
So I put the cast iron skillet into the pizza oven.
Yes.
Get it good and hot. Then I put the butter and the olive oil in it. So I don't use the canola oil, sorry. Mm-hmm. And then I put the fish in face down. Not the face down. There's on it.
Side down. Oh, like the skin side down.
Yeah, and that sizzles away. And then they're the same thing Lacey says. You turn it upside down. And then because the flame's coming up and over, then it just shards it really nice.
It would be so quick in that thing. Wouldn't you just turn around once, take it out?
Yeah.
Just
it's
about?
It's very quick.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. And it's no mess machine. In the kitchen. Mm. I know. Phil needs
I love that machine.
You need to get
if I get divorced,
them
that
to
machine's
sponsor
coming
you.
With me.
And the dog.
I don't have the dog.
So thank you very much, Ellen. We appreciate this.
Okay. Next. Go.
Next. We've got Gus. Oh, how good. We didn't even plan that. Okay, Phil, I'm going to let you have the first one.
All right. So this week, probably people, if you watch the news, and some people don't, but it was the best pie of competition that goes every year for Victoria. And this year for 2020, found in Ocean Grove, the Rolling Pin Pies and Cake Bakery won the pie that contains three types of mushrooms, herbs, and truffle filling wrapped in a pastry crust. So here's a meat pie competition, and there's no meat in it.
Mushrooms won it.
Yeah, mushrooms won it.
And if you go, Ocean Grove is a good place to go in the winter because you get cozy pubs and restaurants and nice angry ocean. It's lovely. Now,
but then you got to drive. Yeah, if you're the driver, it's no fun. Because then you can't enjoy the extra glass of beer or the wine.
Why don't you go spend the night? Spend the night.
I'm married.
I got the same crap at this house. Jeanette, we'll go to Ocean Grove. Stuff it. Right. Now, on to my sort of we got goss. You two boys, settle down. This is something that would happen to me. Two people, or if Zayna and I worked at Mars, two people were rescued after falling into a tank full of chocolate at the Mars M&M factory in Pennsylvania Thursday. Last Thursday.
Reminds me of Laverne and Shirley.
They had to cut a hole in the side of the tank to get them out. It's unclear how the people fell into the chocolate tank. No injuries have been reported at this time. No. It'd be like, I bet, what if you just, I wonder if it was like a side film. They dropped the, dropped the junior.
I was thinking of the Simpsons, you know, and Homer falling into the tank.
Oh. Actually, we were talking about this at work, and I said to Anne, I was like, ooh, I wonder if you'd float.
Yeah.
But yes, they were trapped waist deep. And, you know, if you're going to go.
Go good.
Go, that's good. It. Go I am good, sweet, truly man. With you on that one.
Yes. All right. So next week's show is the 4th of July.
That's right. 4th of July episode.
And we'll throw some old Canada in there.
That's right. That's, absolutely, we will do that. Now, our sign off is.
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Only the pure in heart can make a good soup. Ludwig von Beethoven.
Amadeus. That was Amadeus.
Okay, on that, we'll be out of here.
Yep. See you later.
Mm-hmm.